As the year winds down, we normally look back at the events and the people of 2005. Where I live, in Indianapolis, we have looked at only one event, the tragic death of a young man. You're listening to Longitude. It's Friday, December 30th, 2005. Last week in my town, we were stunned at the death of a young man by the name of James Dungy. James was the 18-year-old son of Indianapolis head coach Tony Dungy. His body was found in his apartment in Tampa, Florida, dead, apparently by suicide. The news really rocked the town because right now we're a football town caught up in the story of the Indianapolis Colts and their magical year and their drive for the Super Bowl. They nearly had a perfect season going until a few weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, we were hit by this tragedy that had struck the Dungy family and the entire nation, and in fact, the whole world that had been following the NFL story with the Colts this year was caught up in the same story. It's a sad loss for the family. How could something like this happen to a young man who had his whole life ahead of him, the son of a prominent family with many hopes and dreams there, and yet suicide among young people is a blight upon our country and upon the world that strikes all kinds of people and families from every walk of life. It is truly one of the problems that we face today. And looking at some of the stories that have come across and have been in the local newspaper here, the Indianapolis Star, over the death of this young man, there have been a lot of questions asked. There have been a lot of statistics thrown out. And ultimately, the question is why, as I'm sure so many people ask at a time like this when a young person tragically takes their life. You know, in looking at this young man, as it was said, like most of us, I think that he went through a time as a teen when he wasn't sure his parents always had the best advice and that his parents always had his best interests at heart. This was what Coach Dungy said over his son. And I think a lot of parents can say the same thing as we've all raised young people and they go through a certain period in their teen years when a lot of turmoil begins to develop and a lot of emotional matters take over in their lives and we go through some very trying times. Most people traverse those waters very well on into adulthood and normal out and become functioning normal human beings. We all go through some of our problems. Sometimes, unfortunately, and more frequently in today's world, a lot of young people don't. One comment that I found to be interesting by the sister of James Dungy, his sister Tiara, had said of her brother, she said, "I just wish that he could have made it to 20 because when you're 17 or 18, a lot of things your parents tell you don't make sense. At 20, they start to make sense again. I just wish he would have made it." How many parents, how many friends, how many siblings of teens, young people who have committed suicide have said and wished the same thing, that they just could have gotten through a tough period or a tough loss or a tough relationship and hung on for another month, another 6 months, or another year and got to age 20 or 21 or more and seen that things kind of in a different perspective. How many people have said that? Well, too many. The statistics that have been compiled by the National Institute of Mental Health indicate that suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in the United States, but it's the third leading cause of death for Americans ages 15 to 24, a very critical period. According to these statistics that you can find just about anywhere, it seems that more than 1 million young people attempted suicide in the United States in 2000. Now that works out to more than 2,700 suicide attempts each day by young Americans. I think those figures have kind of leveled off in more recent years, but they're still far, far too high, and they're much higher than they were a number of years ago. It is very obvious that today's teens are substantially more likely than past generations to kill themselves, and that is unacceptable by any standard. 9% of teens, they say, suffer from major depression in the United States. The rate of depression has increased to 12% for teens age 16 or 17. Mental health experts say that about 30% of children who battle depression will make at least one suicide attempt. Again, those are statistics that are just unacceptable for anyone. But it is a fact of life, and it's something that we live with. We grieve over when it happens, when a young person takes their life. And it's something that we need to be watching for. We could ask the question, who should be on the lookout for teens that are at risk of suicide? Well, obviously, much of the burden falls on parents, who are the most likely to observe their children's behavior when their guard is down and throughout the hours of the day at home. But of course, there's others. There's teachers, there's coaches, there's friends, there's neighbors, there's employers. A very strong support network can make all the difference in the life of a troubled young person. So can a qualified counselor or therapist or a minister or another youth worker or just anyone who takes an interest in a young person, who sees a young person struggling, who sees them battling depression, maybe dealing with a tough situation at school, the loss of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or a tough situation at home, maybe problems with the parents, maybe the parents are going through a divorce, maybe there's a step parent in the home, and other problems that come up there. All of us who see those types of situations and see them affecting young people need to take note and need to step in and do what we can, a kind word, a hand on the shoulder, a hug, a note, a phone call, anything to let them know that someone cares, that someone can listen, that what they're going through isn't the end of the world, it's not the rest of their life, that they can get through it, that many, many others have gone through similar problems and even bigger problems and come out on the other side and find the light of day. But it takes someone caring and someone who is alert and noticing some of those situations to step in and to help make a difference. Sadly, teen suicide today is not a rarity. Young people with a wealth of potential and a lifetime to develop it often can't see beyond the current crisis. That's where family and friends, a community, a church, anyone can step in and help make a difference. There's one scripture that I'd like to call to our attention. It's in the book of Malachi that deals with the family, deals with relationships between parents and children, and perhaps should be noted at a time like this. It's in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and it speaks of a time and prophetically when God says he would send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And so the time setting is in that period prior to Christ's return, the time these days. And verse 6 says, he, this Elijah the prophet, this individual, this work, whoever this would be, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, in an overall biblical context, this is referring to the larger covenant relationship that God made initially with Israel, but desires to have with all of mankind, a relationship that is based upon an agreement between God and his people, that is based upon God's word, that is based upon his eternal spiritual law. And so the prophet is, in a larger sense, referring to that. But there's also an application as we bring it down to the level of our own family relationships and our own personal relationships, and that is of turning our hearts toward one another, the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of children to their fathers. I don't have to go through all the statistics to show any of us the problems that we are facing in our world today with the family structure being completely inverted and turned upside down, redefined, deconstructed in so many different ways through divorce, through gay marriage, through single cohabitation without marriage by individuals. The whole structure of family has gone through a dramatic change in the last 20 to 30 years as to be unrecognizable by someone of a prior generation. And that has not happened without a serious impact upon the children. I've read in recent times statistics that shows that children born in the 70s and the 80s are statistically at a greater risk than any other generation in American history. And some of the statistics I just quoted earlier here bear that out. Our family structure has indeed been turned upside down, and that is a major problem, and it is something that the prophets in the Bible does address directly. But this particular verse at least speaks to the need of fathers and children, parents and children, having their hearts turned toward one another, to listen, to hear, to interact in positive and constructive ways. And that's so important. That is so necessary. This scripture applies to our families. It applies to our kids. And within it, there's an inherent solution to the problems that we see around us today socially, such problems that come out so tragically often in the suicides of young people. And in this most recent case with the Dungy family here in Indianapolis, affecting them and literally affecting the whole community. Coach Dungy, I think, said it very well at the funeral of his son this week. He said, "Don't pass up an opportunity to hug your kids. Be bolder," as he spoke to his Indianapolis Colts team in their work and then their efforts to reach out to other people and especially to a younger generation. It's good advice to pass on, to never pass up an opportunity to hug our kids. It's good advice. I'll leave that with you at this time. Go hug your kids. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.